Oh, I tripped on all the stacks of cash I made investing in sports cards, and I busted up my face. I'll never invest in sports cards again. Hey everyone, my name is Tyler Nellipot. Nethercott, better known as Teapot. And this week, I'm talking about the biggest what-if NBA players in history. You know, investing in active players is a risk. You have to do a lot of research. You got to know the market. You got to know the sports card products. You got to know the players and the league. But there's one thing you cannot predict, and that is injuries. And today, I'm going to count down five of the biggest what-if players in NBA history. So let's get right into it. Now, if you've been watching Disney Plus, if you've been watching What If, if you're a Marvel fan, that might be the thing that kind of inspired this episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some statistics, and then I'll pause here and you can guess who this player is. So take a minute to look at this. This player played all the way up until age 32, started at age 18, led the league in scoring at 32 points per game. This player is obviously none other than Tracy McGrady. Now, Tracy McGrady, in my opinion, one of the biggest what-if type players in NBA history. And, you know, he played a fair amount of games, but ultimately it was injuries at the middle of his career that caused him a lot of problems. And you can see by his statistics, I mean, Tracy McGrady was called by Kobe Bryant the most difficult player he ever had to guard or play against. He basically said that he was a, you know, 6'9" version of himself, really lengthy, could score from all places on the floor. He was a phenomenal defender. And his statistics show it. If you look at his statistics, you know, up and down the board, it was starting in that really, you know, 2008 season when things started to go downhill for Tracy McGrady. So I want to tell you, who do I think Tracy McGrady compares to in terms of his skill set? And I just said it, it's Kobe Bryant. I know some of you might think that's a stretch, but Kobe himself had the utmost respect for Tracy McGrady. And I really think if you go back and you watch the footage, or if you grew up watching basketball during that era like I did, Tracy McGrady was one of the most complete players that I've ever seen play the game of basketball. And it was a shame when he started, you know, missing time because of a bunch of different injuries. Now, if we compare Kobe and we compare McGrady, you can see they're both drafted out of high school, 13th overall versus 9th overall. You know, Kobe played with Shaq. McGrady later in his career played with Yao. And if you look at their statistics, from age 21 to age 27. Eerie how similar their statistics are. And just take a look at this. Almost identical minutes per game. Exactly the same field goals per game. You know, similar field goal percentages. Kobe a little bit better shooter than T-Mac maybe. Definitely better from the charity stripe. Rebounding, McGrady had the slight edge. Assists, nearly identical. Steals, nearly identical. And then points per game, nearly identical. So when you look at these two stats, you know, on paper, you really can't argue that the statistics were similar for these two players. Now, after the age of 27, Tracy McGrady only played 255 games, whereas Kobe went on to play 639 games after the age of 27. Obviously, he played until the age of 38, so he played a much longer career than Tracy McGrady, who, again, we said played until he was, what, 31 or 32? Now, McGrady dealt with multitude of injuries, knee injuries, shoulder injuries, back injuries, and ultimately that's what caused his career to be cut short. If we look at the card values for Kobe, and this is where the big what if we think about what could T-Mac have done in the league, you know, with the right teammates, with the right health, if he could have stayed healthy during seasons, but then look at the card values, the legacy for Kobe, obviously, you know, much greater than T-Mac, $13,200 for his Topps Chrome base card, $289 for McGrady's Topps Chrome PSA 10 base card. Similar pop counts on those two cards, and then you can kind of go down and compare their tops to their tops, and the Bowman's best to the Bowman's best Kobe. So, you know, could T-Mac have ever been Kobe? Maybe in another universe, we never know, but let's move on to the next pick. All right, so this next pick started in 1993 with the Orlando Magic, went to the Phoenix Suns, then to the New York Knicks, ultimately finished his career with the Miami Heat in limited minutes. Pretty easy one here in my opinion. My childhood PC, my first PC when I was a child, Anfernee Penny Hardaway. And boy, Penny's career, just he couldn't stay healthy either. So many what ifs. You know, if he had been able to keep Shaq in Orlando, and if he hadn't gotten injured, what might have happened with Kobe? Would Kobe have won the championships with Shaq? You know, Shaq did leave before Penny started to, you know, go through these injuries. It was just like a series of cascading terrible events for Magic fans after Shaq left, and Penny being injured was certainly a part of that. Now, who does Penny most compare to? This is not a pure comparison. There are some differences here, I think, but the best comparison and the guy that Penny was compared to going into the NBA, and in fact, by this player comparing him to himself, was Magic Johnson. So if we go and compare Penny to Magic, 6'7 versus 6'9, long point guards, first overall draft pick. Penny was the third overall draft pick, but really was traded to the Magic for Chris Webber, who was the first overall draft pick. You know, Magic played with Kareem, Penny played with Shaq, both of them went to the finals. And if you compare their stats in the first eight seasons, somewhat similar here too. Some differences in that Magic was a much better facilitator, one of the best of all time at passing the ball, a better rebounder. Scoring was similar. You know, Penny was a little bit more smooth, long, athletic, you know, explosive when he needed to be. Magic was much bigger, stronger, bulkier, and he really, you know, flipped the ball around the court a little bit more than Penny did. Now, Penny played 15 seasons. He played 15 seasons, which is pretty respectable, but he only played 704 games in those 15 seasons. Magic played 11 full seasons and had one injured season in his sophomore year in 1981, played a total of 906 games, and obviously his career was cut short, you know, after a diagnosis of his illness. So these two players, very similar, you know, different winning track records. Hard to know what could have happened to Penny if he had been able to stay healthy and maybe could have been on some winning teams. But if we compare the card prices here, you know, you can compare the 1981 PSA 10 Topps base card, $19,000 most recently on August 10th. Whereas Penny, similar, you know, Pop 33 on his finest refractor, probably the best comparison, different eras of cards, $2,000, you know, a fraction of what Magic's is. And same thing here if we compare, you know, just for sake of something else, say the 1986 Fleer, Pop 172, obviously not a rookie card, and yet, you know, similar pop count, similar maybe notoriety of first year finest and that, you know, really important Fleer class, and the prices obviously don't compare. So number two, Penny Hardaway on the biggest what if list. Let's move on to number three. This player was drafted in 1994 by my Detroit Pistons, went on to play for Orlando and Phoenix and finished his career with the Clippers. Obviously, another pretty easy one in my opinion. This player is Grant Hill. Grant Hill, also one of my all-time favorite players, another one of my big PC players even still today. In fact, now I have more Grant Hill cards than I do Penny Hardaway cards. It's kind of picked up chasing Grant Hills after I got back into the hobby a few years ago. Who does Grant Hill remind me of? And, you know, I had to really kind of think about this one for a little bit. But when it came down to it, Kawhi Leonard, I think, might be one of the better comparisons. And if we look at them, both of them very athletic, explosive when they need to be, almost like unassumingly explosive and athletic. They don't always play that way. They play with broad shoulders. They play big. But then when they need to get to the bucket, you can see them really, really put it down even over the biggest defenders. And lockdown defense, absolutely lockdown defense. 6'7", 225 for Kawhi, 6'8", 225. For Grant Hill. Grant Hill, very charismatic. I kind of put fun, and obviously Kawhi, fun guy, just having a little bit of fun there. And if you compare their stats from age 22 to age 27, you got Grant Hill, and that was really when Grant Hill was like a rookie, or his sophomore year, you know, up until 2000. It's a Kawhi a few years into the league when he started to settle in, but similar statistics from that age range, 22 to 27, you know. Hill with a few more rebounds, definitely a better playmaker. Similar defensive statistics, very similar scoring. Kawhi a little bit more efficient on the scoring end, but a lot of players are in this era as well. But I think that's really a pretty strong comparison. Now, Grant Hill played 19 seasons, 1,026 games, which averages out to 54 games per year. Kawhi played 10 seasons so far, 576 games, and has played 58 games per year. So very similar there, So in this case, it's not so much a what if Grant Hill could have been Kawhi Leonard. This one's more of a what could Grant Hill have been and what might happen to Kawhi Leonard. You know, he's been injured. He was injured last year in the playoffs. He couldn't play in the playoffs. The Clippers had another opportunity to make a deep push, and they had to rely on Paul George pretty much by himself with Terrence Mann, and Kawhi couldn't play. So kind of remains to be seen what's going to happen with Kawhi from here on out. Will he be able to play full seasons? Will he be able to show up in the playoffs? We really don't know. So we kind of ask, what if? Now, if we look at their card prices, you know, Kawhi much, much higher than Grant Hill. You know, Pop 30 on this PSA 9. I did PSA 9s on the refractors because the PSA 10s haven't sold recently. But you got Pop 30 on the PSA 9 Prism Silver, sold for $8,504. And it was back in February of this year. Grant Hill at Pop 113 on his PSA 9 Refractor Finest card, sold back in July for $525. If you compare their base cards, a much lower population on the Finest PSA 10 base for Grant Hill with the coating Pop 240, about four or five times that on Kawhi Leonard, and about five times the price on the Kawhi Leonard. So keep an eye on this over time, right? You're investing in active players. I think Kawhi has a legacy already very much established as the Kingslayer. He's won multiple championships. You know, he did it with two different teams. And so he's obviously considered to be one of the best players of the last 10 years since he's been in the league. Grant Hill never got that legacy established and unfortunately never won any big awards or championships in the NBA. Next up on our list, I know pretty much everybody watching this video will be able to get this one. It's a no-brainer. Obviously, I'm just going to jump right into it. Derrick Rose, and you had to expect that Derrick Rose was going to be on this list of what-ifs. Now, Derrick Rose is still playing. Derrick Rose is still really good. Derrick Rose is a favorite, one of the favorites, to win Sixth Man of the Year award next year. And he has had quite the resurgence, but Derrick Rose's career, make no mistake about it, has overall been tragic. You know, he was the MVP at 22 years old in just his third season. And actually, let's just jump right into this. Who does Derrick Rose most remind me of? This is another one that I had to stop and think about. And then the comparison is not perfect, but it kind of clicked for me. And I think you could compare Derrick Rose to Dwayne Wade. And let's look at why. So Dwayne Wade drafted in the first round, fifth overall out of Marquette. And then you've got Derrick Rose, first overall out of Memphis. You know, finals MVP at age 24 for Dwayne Wade, NBA league MVP, regular season MVP at 22 for Derrick Rose. Now, if we compare their stats from age 20 to 23, that's just their first four seasons really in the league. Then we've got Derrick Rose at 21 points per game, Dwayne Wade at 24 points per game, similar assist numbers. I think Wade definitely a better defender than Derrick Rose. You know, similar rebound numbers, I guess, not their, you know, strong suit. The difference here is, you know, Rose was just that game-changing, explosive, athletic player. He could take over the game and get his own at any particular point in the game. Some people don't think that he deserved the MVP that he won. Other people are, you know, adamant, passionate that he absolutely deserved it. I'm not really going to get into that debate, but you cannot argue that Derrick Rose in his early years was, you know, one of the most exciting players on the court at any given time. He played 255 games from age 23 to 29, which averages out to 36 games per year. And Dwayne Wade played 486 games from age 23 to 29, averaging out to 69 games per year. So Wade wasn't exactly always healthy, but he definitely played a lot more games than D-Rose. You know, some of those Bulls teams were extremely competitive. They made it deep into the playoffs. They were one seeds in the East. Rose never got that championship. Wade obviously did win multiple championships with Shaq and then with LeBron and Bosh. And obviously he won that finals MVP. So the legacy is different. And the card prices are certainly different as well. $775 on the Topps Chrome PSA 10 for Wade. $320 on the Topps Chrome PSA 10. For D-Rose, which is a somewhat significantly lower population too. And then the same thing on the Topps Chrome Refractor, $6,000 for the D-Wade Pop 128. Pop 8 PSA 10 Derrick Rose Refractor, $1,300 all the way back in February. All right, moving on. You're going to get a twofer. This is the number five on the list, the number five of the five biggest what ifs in NBA history. And I had to go for a twofer here. And instead of comparing two players, you know, one who maybe wasn't as hurt, I'm just comparing and stacking up two players who both got hurt. And if you look at this list, probably pretty obvious who these two players are. If you look at this one, you see a whole bunch of did not play, barely any games. And right down here, you know, you see playing for Portland, you know, obviously played some games, and then all of a sudden career just over. The first one, Greg Oden, the other one, Brandon Roy. Tragedy, absolute tragedy, these two players' career stories. Now, if you go over here, Brandon Roy was the sixth overall pick in 2006, and Greg Oden was the first overall pick in 2007. Brandon Roy, you know, much like his last name, very, very aptly, won Rookie of the Year. Greg Oden did nothing. Greg Oden is literally the definition of a what if. He literally never did anything other than going 50-12 when he was on the court with Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge. When that trio played together, Brandon Roy, Greg Oden, and LaMarcus Aldridge, they were 50-12 overall. Unfortunately, those are all the games that they played together. That's it, 62 games together, and we'll never know how good they could have been if they had been able to keep playing. Greg Oden played 105 games in seven seasons, just 15 games per year on average, and really only three seasons total. Roy played 486 games, 60 games a year, but then his career came to a screeching halt and he had to announce his retirement. So not a lot of cards out there for their rookie cards, not a lot of graded cards. And if you look here at these PSA, this PSA 9 Topps Chrome and his PSA 10 Topps, $20, $17. If you're a Trailblazers fan, maybe you want these, maybe you don't, I don't know. But obviously if you have any interest in collecting these two players' cards, you can get them at a pretty reasonable price. Again, horrible what-if scenario. My uncle, you know, lives out in Oregon, and I know they were always rooting for the Blazers. It never really worked out for them. All right, last but not least, honorable mentions for the list. I'm sure some of you are screaming, hey, why didn't you think of this person? I think Danny Granger falls on that list. You know, Danny Granger did have some really good years. His career was cut short. Sean Livingston, obviously, with that horrific leg injury. You know, I'm not convinced that Sean Livingston ever could have been, like, an all-world, you know, top 25 player of all time, but that injury was nasty, and he did ultimately come back to it, but, you know, not to the same caliber. I put Arvydas Sabonis on here because he just came into the league so late, and for those of you who don't know, you maybe just kind of snicker at his name when you were little or something, but Arvydas Sabonis was really good, but he didn't start into the NBA until he was much, much older, and if he had played earlier, he could have been absolutely dominant. He could have been one of the most dominant big men of all time, honestly. Drazen Petrovic is another similar player who obviously died in a car accident when he was 28 years old, the Croatian Wonder Boy. And, you know, we'll never know how good he could have been. Some people like to rumor that Petrovic, you know, that Jordan was afraid of Drazen Petrovic. And then Ralph Sampson, Yao Ming, and Bill Walton, three great big men who obviously had health problems, who couldn't, you know, stay healthy. Bill Walton, one of the most dominant college players of all time. Yao, one of the most, giant men of all time to play on the court, and Ralph Sampson wasn't small either. I think he was 7'4", and showed a lot of potential early in his career before injuries ultimately cost him. So that's it. I hope that you enjoyed this episode, having a little bit of fun, just kind of thinking about what if, like the show says. And that's really important to keep in mind. Like I said, if you're investing in active players, make sure you diversify. Unless you're just the type that likes to take huge gambles and go on your gut, and you believe in your guy or, you know, two or three guys or gals, I like to diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, because an ACL or a shoulder or any number of other issues or unfortunate car accidents can cause a lot of grief on the investment side for you. All the charts that I had in here with pricing obviously came from Market Movers. If you're interested in Market Movers, go to marketmoversapp.com and check out the two plans that we offer. You can download that app free on Android and iOS. It's completely free to download, and it's free to try it out. If you do want to use it long-term, you can sign up for a subscription in-app or on that website that I just mentioned. And you can also download our Sports Card Investor app that is completely free to use, gives you nice card rankings and all kinds of options to see recent data, as well as to click out to eBay links to buy anything that you're interested in. Make sure to like this video. Leave your comments down below. Did I forget any big what ifs? Which of those players from the list do you think would have been the best if they had been completely healthy? who would have been the all-time great if they had been able to have a full career. We will never know, but maybe in another universe, who can really say? Thanks for stopping by, and until next time, happy investing.